Right, before we start, can you look under your chairs, please? And you should all have a Bible. Okay, it's a New Testament. We were given a whole box of these. Shayun, can you come up? Come. We were given a box of these, and what we did is we gave everybody in our congregation one of these and asked them to give them to somebody that they know and just see what conversations rise up. Okay, so these are not for you. If you want one for yourself, I think there's a few left by the front door, but this is to start conversations that lead people towards Jesus, okay? And I'll be mentioning that as I preach. But before then, Cheyenne is going to come and read us. Have we got a mic for her? Yeah. Yep, that's it. The parable of the lost sheep.
The parable of the lost sheep. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
Amen. Well done. Round of applause. Yeah. Come on. So Cheyenne got to read this morning because she was first in here. So if anyone wants to read, you need to be first in. Is that all right? So well done. So... So what we're going to call the talk this morning is The Gospel Works. Now, this is the second sermon out of that particular reading. And the first one was all about friendship evangelism, you know, where we get out there and we make friends with people in order to bring the sheep in. This is more where God steps in, the power of God, when he steps in to bring people in. And so that's where we're going with this. As you look at the parable itself, Jesus is the shepherd, and those that are in the kingdom are the sheep. If you are not in the kingdom, you are not a sheep. You are a goat. There we go. And so we are sheep. And I said to Debbie, sheep? I mean, well, it could be worse. We could be ducks or spiders, couldn't we? And Debbie said, well, actually, I'd rather have been a duck. And I said, actually, I'd have rather been a dinosaur, right? And then this silly smirk came right over her face. Well, I don't know what that was all about. But actually, the parable's got nothing really to do with sheep. It's all about God's kingdom, the kingdom of God coming to earth, breaking into the reality that we see. When Jesus came into the world, he brought his kingdom with him. But it's not here fully yet. It's here now, but advancing. It's advancing, taking ground, but through us. That's what the Bibles are for, because that's what God wants to do through each one of us. And we see that. Look, the first thing Jesus said to his disciples was, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So very simple, you know, forget all the other fancy pants stuff that Christianity can be about. And I'll ask you the question, are you following Jesus and are you making fishers of men? Because that is it. That is what our existence is all about now, following him and making disciples, fishing for men. And Jesus, when he sent us out, he said this, look, I'm going to send you out as sheep amongst wolves. And so God wanted us to know, he said, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So he wants us to be wise about the world that we are going into. What is it? that the power of God is available. The power of heaven, the age to come, has broken in to this age, the evil age, the Bible says, where it's the ruler of the kingdom of the air. He's the other kingdom that's out there, but God has broken in. And so if we're going to be wise, we go out of this room today knowing there's two kingdoms out there. And one scatters, it separates us from each other and causes disruption. The other one gathers into family, gathers us together, the sheep or the fish, God calls us. It's an ingathering of his family, his children. And what I want to look at this morning is the message that brings everyone together, that gathers God's people. And it's called the gospel, the good news. We're going to look at seven aspects of the gospel this morning, if that's all right. Is that okay with you guys? Amen. Cool. So, first of all, the urgency of the gospel. We haven't got forever. Who knows that Jesus is coming back? Amen? Amen. And so John said to us in 4:35, don't say that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. I tell you, actually this is Jesus in John, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. I was at a major meeting the other day at Westminster Chapel, and someone got up and said, God, will you make the harvest ready? Will you do something, God, that we can go out there and reap? No, Jesus said, it's already ripe. It's already ready. Don't be like the farmer who sows a seed and then has to wait for the seeds to grow up and grow into something, and the ears come out and the sun comes out, and when it's just right, they reap. It's not like that. With the kingdom of God, it's ready now. Jesus said so. It's ready, and we haven't got forever. The time is actually short, and the time is now. Really now. There are people out there that you know that are ready. They're ready to hear the news. And so we go out and we share the gospel. We celebrate it. We go out there and we celebrate the big stories where someone gets healed and comes to Christ. It's fantastic when that happens. I'm a closer. I love doing that. Many of you won't be that. You'll feel very uncomfortable with that. But we're just to lead them a bit closer to Christ. So we also celebrate the small wins, the small stories, where just a conversation moves someone a little bit closer to Jesus. The Bible says, even if you give them a drink of water in my name, it's as if you gave it to me. And the thing is that the power of God is there. Acts 1:8 says, the power of God will come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. The power of God is aching to come and help you. I remember when I first became a Christian. So I didn't know any Christian. I wasn't even a Christian. Let's go back. I wasn't even a Christian then, but I'd started to read the Bible. And I used to get out of it with my mate Tony on a Friday night. Well, actually, it was Friday, Saturday and Sunday. But so that was before I was a Christian, about a week ago. No, it wasn't. It was a bit longer than that. And so I would be telling him the stories about Abraham and Moses, and we used to love it, on a Friday night. But I was aware that there was something helping me. Now, I didn't know another Christian. I didn't know what was going on. All I knew, these were fantastic stories. And I used to tell him on a Friday night, Saturday night. It was about a year later. Still hadn't met any Christians. Where I came from, my friends, about 200 Uds, none of them even spoke about Jesus at all, But it was about a year later I came to Christ, and it was the scripture and the power of the scripture, the power of the stories. That's why you're giving the Bible out. We've got to trust that the kingdom of God will come upon the words of God, and whatever goes into somebody, like it did me and it did Tony, it took him another year, that they will bear fruit and the kingdom of God comes upon it and will produce Christians. They will bring, it gathers the sheep, it gathers the fish in. And so It says the small things that we do, the small things really matter. The kingdom of God will empower them. And I want us to get faith today to step out and see some of our friends. Hands up in here if you've got someone that you love, that you would love to see come to Christ. Come on, hands up. If you didn't put your hands up, come on, see me afterwards, yeah? And so secondly, and this is really key, I believe, is that the kingdom of God is available to us. It's like just there, it's in the bank, right? But we've got to have fun with it. You know, evangelism has become a bit of a swear word in church. It's like, don't mention evangelism, don't say that. We avoid saying it at all costs. Jesus used it, you know, and it's like, well, it's what we do. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so we're to have fun with the gospel. You know, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And so it doesn't depend. Don't sit there thinking, but I don't know the gospel. We'll go through that in a minute. You don't have to get it fully right. It's like, as long as you've got a rough order of things, the Holy Spirit is the one that takes over, convicts hearts and brings people into the kingdom. The Father's the one who it starts from. He calls them in. We just do a little bit. And we're to trust in the kingdom of God coming. You know, fear not, little flock, Jesus said, for it's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so the Father is waiting to empower you and help you with sharing the gospel. It's you and God together. The power of God will come upon you. It will come upon you. Won't let you down. I remember so we did an alpha course in the garden. It was sunny, just seemed the right thing to do. And we brought this young student to Christ. She was lovely and an absolute transformation in her life. I can't talk about that one yet, but all of a sudden her friend at uni got the right ump, Lee. Why? Because he was a Mormon and he fancied her, and now she'd become a born-again Christian. It was like, what am I going to do? So Lee started to send messages. He wanted to come and see me, and, you know, he was just being trained up to go into America to share the Mormon faith. So he was a light for his God, and I couldn't be bothered with it. It's like, look, I've got enough to do. I know what you want to do. You've got the ump because she can't be your girlfriend now and all that. Anyway, so in the end, I thought, all right, you come and we'll chat. So I went, Lee, okay, you get 10 minutes telling me about your God, and I'm going to have 10 minutes telling you about my God. And so off he went. Now, Lee was the sharpest guy I've ever met. He was razor sharp, knew his Bible that he could only interpret through another book, and it was, he bamboozled me in 10 minutes. I was, you know, like that. And it was like, okay, fair enough. And then it came to my 10 minutes and I went, you know what, Lee? I'm not going to try and persuade you from scripture in 10 minutes, but I believe my God's alive. Amen. I said, so how about if you just put your hands like that and I ask my God to come? And he went, okay then. So he's sitting there like that. I'm sitting like that. And I went, Jesus, will you come by your Holy Spirit? And then inside, I'm thinking, what have I just done? Yeah. I mean, I don't want to stand up there and, you know, I'm the bold one and all that. Inside, I'm thinking, and I've got this kind of one eye open, having a look at him, right? And he's sitting there, and I'm thinking, what if God doesn't come? And it's like, oh. And then all of a sudden, boom, the power of God, the love and joy of God just came upon us. The Spirit came down. And I thought, wow, look at that. Look at that. And then all of a sudden, Lee, who was sitting on the settee like this at the time, all of a sudden he's got down, he's got his knees like this. And it's like, I'm thinking, God, this is more powerful than I've seen before. And then he was there for a little while, and I thought, well, I still only 10 minutes. So I said, Lee, you can invite Christ into your life if you want to. And he said, well, I can see, I do believe in the God of the Old Testament. I said, Jesus was the God of the Old Testament, and I'm sure he can work with that. Theologians, you'll have to work that one out afterwards. But it seemed to be all right with the Spirit. And so I said, okay. So I shared the gospel with him. And he invited Christ into his life. It was just amazing. You could see what was going on. And he said, what do I do with my books? I said, you can do what you like with your books. You know, God's coming to your heart. And then he went, what about speaking in tongues? Can I speak in tongues? I went, well, if you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. I said, okay. It's like, let's just pray then. And we asked Jesus, because he's the one who pours his presence in power out on us like that. And I worship him, praise him. You do the same, and we'll see what happens. So there's me, you know, singing away, shabba-dabba-ding-dong and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, he started making a noise as well. And then I'm getting noisier, and I'm singing, I'm thinking, woohoo, look at that. He's speaking in tongues, honestly, I was like that. And then all of a sudden, Debbie's running down the stairs. She thought we was having an argument. It was all right. And there's more to that story, but he went home. And he's, anyway, so, but the power of God is honestly there for us if we just trust it. Even this morning, the God is saying to me, we need to release the gospel more. We need to believe in the gospel. It's almost like we pen the gospel into this 8-week kind of like, let's have fun with it, guys. And so he's there. But and the kingdom of God empowers us to share our faith. Yeah, God calls them gifts or energizings inside. God does something inside. And we all have different gifts. And the thing is this, is just be yourself. Don't try to be someone else's gift. Don't try. You try what I do. If you can have fun with it, but if it's going to make you nervous, don't do it your way. And the next key is to love everybody. We must love everybody. And so if you want to love someone and you've got a pastoral gift, you just want them alongside and you want to help them and heal their hearts and meet their needs and all that. That's how you love them. With an evangelist, when an evangelist comes alongside someone, the best way of them loving someone is, I need you to come to faith. I want to save you from your eternal destruction. And so we are all built and wired up differently. But all of us are called to love each other, love the lost, and to share the gospel. And so when we got into London, me and Debbie, we didn't know anybody. Nobody at all. But within 3 months, I mean, we were loving everybody. The concierge, the paper guy, the everybody. You know, we're, particularly, I think, restaurant owners. And by the end of 3 months, we were praying for 53 people to come to Alpha. People we were talking to about Jesus. And not all of them did come. We started off with 12. Including me and Debbie, and you know, so and there was one called Azim, and he was a restaurant owner, and he used to cook the food, bring it down, and we took him through the whole Alpha course. And he, do you know what he said at the end? He went, Clive, he said, I want to accept. I can see that what you're saying is true. I know here it's true. He said, but if I accept, then my whole family is going to reject me as a Muslim guy. You know, my whole family will out me. I'm not ready for that, Clive. And do you know what? We haven't got to do the whole deal. I had to leave him with God. I mean, it was painful because he was that close. But the Bible says that I planted, Paul said, Apollos watered, and God gave the growth. We just leave it to God. We nudge them closer, and we leave it to God. Fourthly, demonstrations. We love this part. Demonstrations. And so first of all, we tell them the story. And I'm asked again and again, Clive, what is the gospel? You know, is it the whole Bible? Yes. But here it is. It's a story that we have, and just think of it as a story. You know, we have sinned against holy God and offended him. So God came into the world as Jesus Christ, the Son, and he lived the perfect life that we cannot live. We crucified him on the cross. Yet after 3 days, he rose again and is now seated in heaven with the Father. And if we would repent of our sins, turn from that, and ask Christ into our life, we too will rise from the dead and go to heaven. There you have it in about a minute. That's the story. but we're not to give the story on its own. We're to expect demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, God getting involved. 1 Corinthians 2:4 says that my message was not in wise words, but in demonstrations of the Holy Spirit and power. It's almost like God's there going, I want to help. I want to get involved. Let me be a part of what's going on. And sometimes we've just got to back off if we're open for that and let God do his stuff. Me and Debbie were in Dubai once and helping the church there, and I was getting prepared to preach, and there was this lady who had a bad back, and she's doing the swimming to get over it with her son, and all of a sudden she said, I felt a voice say to me, you need to go to that meeting this afternoon. She saw an able. So she got out of the swimming pool, she got dressed, and she came up, and she kind of sat right in the front there, of it all. Now the amazing thing was she wasn't a Christian, and she spoke Spanish, and so she'd sat there listening to the whole sermon and didn't understand a word I said. I thought, nothing new there then, is there? and so at the end, when I prayed for people to get healed, she came running up and we prayed through an interpreter, prayed for her. She got healed totally of her. And I said, would you like to know who just healed you? Yes, I would. And told her the gospel. She invited Christ into her life. And then she went, can my son come to you? And he come up. He had a heart problem. We prayed for that. He got healed through the interpreter, shared the gospel, and he came to Christ as well. See, God, if we let him, will break into our situations. It's down to expectancy. If we choose to have fun with it and not be frightened of it, just have fun with it. You know, demonstrations, God loves to help. Your changed life is the biggest demonstration that you've got. The peace of God on you is a massive demonstration, but also using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That, you know, prophesy over people, pray for healing. God loves to get involved. Or words of knowledge, one from around here. Me and someone else from here went out quite a while ago, and we were on the streets of Barnet. And so we're saying that thing, you know, where, you know, if God were here and you could ask him for anything, knowing he would answer you, what would you ask him for? And these two girls come over to Zebra Crossing, and we asked them that, and they were mocking. They were going, you think God's alive and all that kind of stuff. We said, yeah. And I said to one of them, well, actually, I think God's got something to say to you, right? And she went, really? I said, yeah, do you want me to tell you? And she went, yeah. Now, inside, I'm thinking, flipping heck, I better get something. You know what I mean? It's like, because I've got nothing, and it's like, but I'm stepping out, you know? And I always know that God's going to catch me. He always does. And I said, well, actually, he's just told me that you desire, you want a husband, but you've been looking in all the wrong places. You know, just a sense, and just said that, and they both stopped mocking. You know, they'd just been talking about that from where the place they'd come from, that how much she wanted that. The atmosphere changed. The power of God started to come upon us in the street. And as we were talking, I said to the other one, I said, do you want me to get a word for you as well? And she went, yeah, would you? And inside I'm thinking, I've done it again. I should have come out while I'm on top, like. And just want you to know, I'm not doing this out of strength. It's in your weakness that he is strong. And honestly, that is the way it is. And so I said, you're looking for a new job. And God's saying, don't give up. You need to open him doors now. He's going to bless you with that. And she went, oh, great. That's what we were talking about. And I said, but also, I said, you've been thinking about ending your life. And God doesn't want you to do that. Well, the power of God was on us there in the street. And we presented the gospel. They both asked Christ into their life. You could see that Christ came into their life. We was even hugging after that in Barnet Street. So trust that God will help you. And if you have fun, and the demonstrations are the big fun bit. Fifthly, your story. So it's so important, I believe, anyway, for today's generation. They're all suffering from information overload. And they don't want another lecture. They want to meet your God. They want an experience of the God you're telling them about. And so your story of how you met Jesus is so powerful for them. And everybody loves a story. And really, we should all learn to share our story in 1 minute, 3 minutes, and 10 minutes. Yeah. And that people can't argue with your story because it's your story. And so we learn our story, a bit about our life before Christ, how we came to Christ, and what life has been like since. And once you've done that, you never know when God's going to say, right now, I want you to use that. I was in the gym once and doing me stuff, and I looked up and I thought, that's Frank Bruno. Does anyone remember him? Yeah. The old boxer. He's got the old cap on, and he's big enough himself, and he had these two hunched guys next to him. And I thought, oh, God, I know what you want me to do. Look, if you, and it's like a little conversation inside. It's like, don't want to. And it's like, but God, if you want me to, you've got to bring it about. Now, there's no way I could speak to Bruno with them two guys there, right? So I thought, give up, God, it's not going to happen. Went to the sauna, and he's in the sauna with these two guys, but still not going to be able to do it. So I came out. Next thing I know, Frank's come out. And I went, hello, Frank, how you doing? And I went, I've got a word from God for you. I said, I'm a pastor, and he's just given me a word. And he went, I thought you was a thug. And I went, no, that's not me. That's Marco at the back there. You know, he's like... And then so I give him this little word of knowledge or whatever it was, prophecy, and then I gave him the testimony. And he went, you know, Frank, he was like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that was it. But... So it's just sowing seeds, and once you've got your story, you never know when God will pull it out for you to use. Then we've got prayer. Now, we're in a battle. Who knows that we're in a battle? Do you mind if I run over a tad? Yeah? No. Tad? All right. So we're on a battle, right? So who knows that we're in a battle? Ephesians 6:12 says this, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the rulers, the authorities, and the cosmic powers of this evil age. Do you want to take that lot on your own? Please don't. Yeah, I know somebody tried it, it doesn't work. And so his job, okay, is to blind the minds of unbelievers. That's what he does. And so our weapon is prayer. And when we pray, we unleash the power of the kingdom of God to come and gather the sheep, to unblock eyes so they can see, unblock ears so that they can see. And the power of prayer, I just want to show it in this. We went out a few years ago, and we used to give out the Jesus video for nothing and go and visit them few days later and ask them three questions. Well, in an hour on Sunday night, we'd give out about, I don't know, four, five videos, whatever it was. One night we decided to take two people out to pray for us. And as they were praying for us, same hour, same place, we gave out 33 videos. And it was God showing the power of prayer. Now, one of them was a lady called Heidi. Now, Heidi took the video in. We went back to speak to her. And she said, Clive, she said, my mum's a Mormon and she's thrown the thing away. It's in the bin. You can't have it back. I said, OK. I said, but did you watch it? And she said, yeah, I watched it. And I said, what did you think? And she said, I really liked it. I said, well, this is our God. And I took her through the gospel, and she's on the living room floor. Debbie was there accepting Christ into her. It's an amazing time with Heidi. Well, and then Heidi moved off somewhere. She came to a small group for a while, then moved off somewhere. Well, 5 years later, we did an alpha course in another part of town. And it was just for a mum, a teenage boy, and two young children, 6, 8, somewhere around there. Anyway, so we came to the Alpha Day, and the lady there said, do you mind if I invite my friend Maureen? And, you know, she's a bit of a Mormon. And, you know, is it all right if she comes in? I thought, oh, great, this is going to ruin a great Alpha. And then I thought, okay. And so she came in, and on the first week, it was really antagonistic. I knew why she was there. It wasn't, I'm there because I want to accept your God. It's there because I want to shoot you down. And so the first week was like that. But then the second week, she sat there and she listened. And every week she was there. I couldn't believe it. She was there. And it came to the Indy Alpha course, and she accepted. And the whole family accepted Christ into her life. And a week later, Maureen said, "I've seen such a difference on these family. Can I accept Christ?" And I went, "Of course you can, Maureen." And she accepted Christ, the power of God. And it was wonderful. You know, you saw this kind of grey-faced, rich-looking woman, which is what she looked like. All of a sudden, the power and glow of God started to come out of her. And it was wonderful. For 3 weeks, she came to our small group. Then she phoned up the small group and said, "I can't come tonight." She said, I've got pain in my chest. 3 days later, she died. Just in time, we got there with the gospel. There isn't forever. But then, a week later, I got another phone call from Heidi. Heidi phoned me up. I haven't seen her for years because she wasn't around. She went, "Clive," she said, "did you know that Maureen was my mum? The one who threw the thing." I went, "No, I didn't know." She said, "They're saying that she accepted Christ. Is that right?" I went, "Yeah, she accepted Christ." You see, these stories come when you step out and you trust God to do what God does best. And so, are you following Jesus? Are you fishing for men? Because his kingdom power is there. The Bibles are for you to give out, to give to someone else. Do you know, 3 weeks ago, a Bible was given out by someone who comes to us, and it was to a 20-year-old Muslim on the bus. Yeah? She read some of the Bible while they were there. They got off the bus, he explained the gospel, she came to Christ, went back home, the family rejected her, and she's now moved out and she's living with one of our families. That's how powerful it is if you trust him. Jesus said this, "I saw the crowds and he was moved with compassion because he saw them harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Thing is, sheep don't know how to come back. They need you and they need me. And I believe that there's a fresh anointing that's going to come upon us now to get out there and share it with fun. Are you up for that, church? Let's stand. We're going to finish. Can you all get your Bibles and hold it in the air? Yeah, let's just do this and then we'll finish up. Yeah, just hold your Bible. I'm going to pray. If you want that anointing, because I'm going to make you work a little bit. If you want that fresh anointing, I'm being serious. Like, this is what I believe God has got for us. If you want to be empowered to see demonstrations of power come upon you on your life and see people come to Christ, if that's you, just raise your hand up with the Bible. Come on, if that's you, Lord, we pray now. Lord, we know that you're aching to come and gather the sheep. That's what the shepherd did. He went out and gathered. Lord, we need your power. We need your strength. We don't have to copycat all that happened in Acts 4. They cried out, "Power come." Lord, we're holding our Bibles up and we're saying, "God, would you anoint them? Anoint us, Lord, and let us come back with story after story. Of how you broke in and you did an amazing adventure leading someone to come to Christ. Come upon us, Lord. As we worship, guys, as we worship, let's receive what God has for us. Thank you, Lord.